gonna say I don't have an ego, and getting a bronze in Best Entertainment for myself was quite a proud moment. That I wrote about this in an essay for my Christmas assessment, because that's what creative writing you can do.
Hi, I'm Erin Velak, and I've made it my mission to interview the members of the University of Nottingham's student radio station, URN. Join me to uncover how our members got into student radio, what they're listening to in their free time, and their most iconic pieces of clothing that might make you recognise them as you're walking around campus. I want to know who they are when the mics aren't live, so let's find out. This is Off Air with URN. So I'm here with Jack Napton, who is our famed head of station.
Hello.
So, as I say, you're head of station. You dabble in the daytime. Is it daytime, or are you technically an after dark?
I am after dark, but I mean...
Do you have a history of daytime?
I've guested on quite a number of shows. I went on Holly and Emily's show quite a lot last year. I've been on Emily and Jenny's show this year. I've been on the Izzy and Izzy show a few times, but I've never had my own daytime show.
I forget your show, because you were part of Indie Versus last
year. Yes, well, for my first and second year, it was just Indie Versus. Then it was the pre-ocean show and Indie Versus in my third year. And then obviously Izzy graduated. So now it's just the pre-ocean show with Hull.
I will say you're the first person I've had on this podcast whose URN experience predates mine.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, my God. I'm so old.
even people like Hunter joined in her second year when I was in my first year.
Yeah.
I joined off the bat. So just an interesting thing.
Wow, that does make me sound odd. In fact, there's only, I think, two other people that you could do that with.
I think Emily and...
Holly. And I think that'd
Holly,
be it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
How does that feel?
it feels like I'm part of a really privileged and exclusive club, but it also reminds me that I am one of the oldest in the station.
Which isn't always the best remark, but yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
True.
There are people older than you. If you ever listen to Eco Frenzy, you will know that Georgia is old and ancient, and we remind her every day.
Excellent.
So at least you're not having old jokes.
This is true. Yeah, I haven't had many of them. It's because I'm so youthful in energy.
You're young at heart.
Yeah, well, I'm only 22. Like, it's not old, no.
So how did you get into radio? Did you come into uni with the intention of student media, student radio, or did it fall upon your lap?
I came into uni with the intention that the societies that I was going to focus on were sport. I went to two taster sessions in my first week. I went to handball, which I did really enjoy. I didn't really have a reason for not going back other than I went to squash as well. And I used to play squash with a fairly decent level, so... I got to the second round of the trials and immediately thought, okay, I can, you know, be a part of this team. And the handball team was really still very new. So I was like, I can do this. I have never played a game for university in either squash or handball. I was like a reserve for the proper team. So I used to go to the team's training sessions. Not that much because I decided that I liked going out quite a lot. But I never played a game. But I got into radio. Well, specifically URN. My mum had always told me way before before coming to uni or anything like that, she was like, I think you'd be good on the radio. Part of me now doesn't know whether she was telling me I was too ugly for TV or if she was, or if she just meant because I like to talk a lot.
Yeah.
It's just, obviously, you've done a load of podcasts with all of members of URN. We all like to talk a lot.
That is the common thing I do keep saying is I thought it'd be easy to interview members of URN because we all like the sound of our own voices.
Very much so.
And I caveat that with, even if you don't like the actual sound of your voice, you like the sound of you speaking.
Yes, very
like
true.
Like to talk and
Excellent.
Be the one talking.
Very, very philosophical analogy of you there. But so when I came to uni, my undergrad degree was English with creative writing. I wanted to be a script writer for film or TV.
Oh, okay.
So I suppose not miles away.
You weren't too far away. You started in sort of maybe general media.
Yeah, but
sphere.
Like social media and this kind of, mine was all more fictional and behind the scenes kind of stuff. Never in a million years thought that I would be presenting definitely not head of station. But Izzy Felton, who I've already spoke about, my Indie Versus co-host, she was in my tutor group. She lived just around the block around the corner from me in Broadgate, and she was in all of my lessons in first year and most in second and third as well. And we were walking back to Broadgate from I think it was a 9 a.m. lecture one day. So we hadn't talked that much on the way in because we were tired. And we were walking back and she went, I've got this... this demo, I can't remember if she said demo or audition, don't matter, for the radio later. And we'd established that we had a similar interest in music. Izzy used to go a lot more in depth than I did, but similar sort of, we liked indie music. You know, Arctic Monkeys was the first song we tried to play, even though we broke the station for 45 minutes. But so she was like, "But I'm going to bottle this demo. I don't want to do it. I'm like,
it's scary.
I'm scared. It is scary. It was, but I'm really overconfident. Like, I know it's sometimes I'm too overconfident as well. If I think I have a little bit of skill in it, I won't say it out loud because I don't want to fall on my own. Like, I don't want to make myself look stupid if I then end up not being that good. But
internally, but like, I can do this.
I can do that. Yeah, I don't doubt myself, which sounds arrogant, but...
No, I'd say that's like a confidence. I think it's arrogance when you're saying it out loud to everyone else. But if you're just like, you know what?
I've tried
a lot of things and I've been okay or at least good at a lot of things. Might as well try more.
I know, I will outwardly tell you the things that I'm bad at. but that's not what this is about, so we'll not go into that. But I was like, so I said to Izzy, and I thought it would be easy with Izzy because we had quite a good rapport anyway, not that we'd ever done it on air before, and we were good at just chatting a load of rubbish to each other. So I was like, let's do it. I think it would be fun. I'll do it with you, she said, to keep you doing it. And then, Indie Versus 3 years. I think our Instagram... I don't know, because recently everyone's social media at URN has gone massive. People have blown up. People are doing TikToks every day, and they're really good and they're really entertaining. But I think for a lot of time before, more recently, when we sort of heard from some professional people coming on our media days and whatever, I think mine and Izzy was one of the best Instagrams. But that was all down to Izzy, because we would do our polls every... because it was Indie Versus... we'd do indie versus a different genre every week, and we would put polls up. So there was always an element of direct engagement. We didn't have to do anything like specifically, we didn't have to come up with a new game or anything.
To try and get people involved.
Because the whole thing was a competition. So it was like, it was innate that you had to vote somehow and we had to have a winner.
Was it an idea that you two came up with yourselves, or was it a pre-existing
No, thing? Izzy had it when we were going for the demo, and I just...
But it was something that she created then.
Yes. Izzy was the one that came up with it. But like I say, she was going to bottle it, and then... But it was good. I felt like... because there was a couple of times when I had to do one on my own, or Izzy had to do one on my own, or throughout COVID, where only one of us, despite the fact that during COVID we were housemates, only one of us could come into the studio. It felt like you were doing it on your own. And you felt like you were arguing against yourself.
Yes.
If you were, so having...
You go a little insane, don't you?
Yeah, so having two people, because it is sort of basically an argument-based thing, was useful. And then that was 3 years. It was great fun. It was brilliant. We did some interviews. Izzy did a lot of interviews, actually. But we had a real laugh. I think we always used to say that we didn't feel like we were that specialist music. And then we entered the SRAs for entertainment, because we didn't think we went in depth enough about music.
Yeah.
And one of our comments was, this isn't an entertainment entry. This is a specialist music entry. You two are just idiots. Or like, in a nice way, like, you're funny, so you think it's entertainment, but it's not. It's a specialist. So yeah, so, but it was great fun. It was lovely having a co-host. It was so weird starting the Pre-Ocean Show on my own. Obviously, I've got Holly with me now doing it. But starting the Pre-Ocean Show on my own was... the entire show, Izzy was listening as well. I was just going through, am I doing all right? I kept repeating it in a, I'm sure, way that didn't sound too repetitive. But it did to some people, because Izzy and I think Em and Holly and Regan, obviously, is ex-URN members that we're talking about here as well. And Regan and Dom were messaging him like, you're doing fine, stop asking.
Stop asking if it's okay.
Izzy especially put some expletives that I won't repeat on a URN podcast. It got me started and I fell in love with it. So, yeah.
That's good. Well, clearly it was something that was maybe not necessarily on your radar, but it was on your mum's radar.
Yes.
Honestly, mums know these things. Yeah, they really do. Or it was... And you were even kind of in the sphere anyway, so just figuring out what it was that you actually liked. And I will say... I remember seeing the Indie Versus account and everything and being like, that's cool, I like that. And I was always like, that's a good idea. And I kind of was like, I wish I'd come up with a cool idea. You know what I mean? You go like, well, that looks like so much fun. And I used to enjoy, I'd vote on the polls every so often when I felt like I knew something.
Yeah, when you knew enough, yeah. No, it was good fun. And to be fair though, we had some really cool graphics, but they were like, I didn't make any of them. Izzy made... I made one for our last show, mm-hmm. which was Indie Versus... It was an Indie Versus Civil War, so I just took the poster from Captain America Civil War.
That's a good one,
and
though.
Put mine and Izzy's face on it, and then a load of indie artists that we like each, yeah. And then that was on there, but Izzy did all of the graphics and stuff. I am not artistically inclined in that way whatsoever.
So would you say now that you're still a more specialist show, because technically all the shows you have done have been after dark, but I always think of you as more of a, potentially more of a daytime host in your sort of character and your nature.
Yeah, I mean, the pre-ocean show, everyone describes it as the most daytime of after dark shows, and...
But I mean, if you've heard the Ocean playlist, it is daytime.
It is extremely daytime, and I agree, and to be fair, I don't... I talk about the only sort of specialist kind of presenting I do when I'm on there. I mean, me and Izzy obviously used to have to talk about indie music a little bit.
Yes.
We weren't exactly experts on all of the other genres we did, so it was a bit more difficult. We did a bit of research, but I only ever talk about the songs that I'm playing in a sense of the effect it'll have on your night or like a memory it might trigger. It's a lot more daytimey presenting. It's personal anecdotes. It's game. Well, I mean, again, innately there has to be games because we give away tickets, so there has to be...
Some sort of involvement or getting people.
Yeah, exactly. So... It really is. And then having Holly there, we do... Holly's had this segment on every single one of her shows that she's done. So she started with... I feel like I'm ruining Holly's opportunity to do a podcast. But Holly started with George and then was Emily, both daytime shows, and then come to me. But every single show she's carried through Chiquitita, Tell Me What's Wrong, from the ABBA song. Is it called Chiquitita?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it is.
But I know the one you're talking about.
But so it's like an agony aunt thing. So she still does that as well. So it is really more daytimey stuff. But that's because doing it like a super in-depth music thing, even though it is an after dark slot, it has to be that slot because that's when Ocean is.
Yeah.
Or that's just before when Ocean is. But also, it just wouldn't work. People would be like, I'm trying to get ready for my night out and I don't want this. Yeah. So we do hope that, I think a few people do, maybe mainly URNers, but put us on for pre's.
And I enjoy it, I've done that before.
And I think a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, that might be overselling it a little bit, but people that have previously won tickets now put it on, because even if they've got tickets, they might decide that they still want to win and flog theirs or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's one listener in particular, shout out Will O'Leary, I've never met the guy, which makes it even cooler, but he's a serial ticket winner. Maybe he's just unorganised and doesn't buy his own tickets.
Or maybe he just knows he's going to keep winning.
True, he's very good at the games we play. Because he's won on both kind of game as well. So I used to do, when I was on my own, learn your lyrics, I read a lyric and people had to tell me the song, but now me and Holly do the age-old question, which we ask about, like, the year someone was born or the year something came out, or who's the youngest in the band.
A little bit of music trivia.
Yeah. So he's really good at that. So shout out Will O'Leary. He might never hear this, but I know that he's been listening before, but not trying to win tickets, which is nice. It's
a good feeling.
It's
isn't
a good
it?
Feeling. I feel a little bit famous. It feeds the ego nicely, yeah.
Well, I mean, speaking of being famous, we have to mention, famously, you were voted to be a BNOC.
Hello, this is Editing Erin. I just want to make a quick note here. A BNOC stands for Biggest Name on Campus. So it's kind of who's the most famous person on campus that everyone's heard of. And we do a lovely big vote for it every year.
Didn't quite win it. I hate to bring it up.
No, yeah, I didn't.
Sore subject, but...
Listen, Joe Paternoster didn't win it either.
And he is definitely our SU Activities
Exactly.
Officer.
Everybody
knows
him.
I don't even know who won in the end.
No, do you know what? It wasn't even like, I think it was like a second year. And I was like, how can it be a second year? You've not been here long enough.
I remember though, I was on that page, I was refreshing. And I think I figured if I went in incognito mode, it would count the vote again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I was like, I want a URN, I want Jack to win this.
Thanks. I thought you were going to tell me you voted for Joe.
No, not at all. I think I'd met him a couple times at that point, but we weren't friends or anything. So I was like, doesn't need a vote. Jack needs it. It's a big win for not just you, for the station.
For the station, yeah.
And also, it's nice if I know the BNOC.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks. Yeah.
And there were actually a couple of people I knew who were on the list, who are acquaintances of mine, but no.
I think it was my girlfriend that put me forward for that, because she found it when I showed her it and said, I'm going to put Dom, not your Dom, Dom Allen, another ex-URN who we've actually already mentioned. I put him forward for it because I was like, he's a massive BNOC. Everybody knows Dom. So I put him in. But he'd never got like further nominated. So I don't know what the criteria was.
Maybe you have to get more than one.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But then my question would be, I'm pretty sure Ash, my girlfriend, was the one that put me in. But
do you reckon she would have got other people to put you in?
Maybe.
I feel like they would
maybe.
Have brought it up by now, though.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, true.
Because if she'd asked like Emily or Holly or something, they would have gone, hey, Jack, guess what? I did this. But oh well. Still, it was a big moment.
Yeah, oh, honestly, it was an honour. It was an absolute honour.
Would you say it was your proudest moment of your life? Because this is actually a question I ask everyone, their proudest moment, and I just feel like now is the time to ask it. I normally save it for the end, but...
I don't know.
Is it up there?
It was...
Or was it just like one of those weird things that was just kind of funny?
Yeah, I think it was more a weird thing that was just kind of funny. Because like I say, in my opinion, Dom... I mean, I know that, like, me and Em have the unique position of we've been, like, management for URN for 2 years, which is not some not an opportunity many people get. But in my opinion, I wasn't one. I knew people through people.
Yes.
And so I didn't count myself as one. Like, I knew quite a lot of people that were friends with Dom, but they would probably go, oh, I know Jack, he's friends with Dom. And yes. I would go, I know them, they're friends with Dom, or Izzy, or whoever. So I felt like that. That's why I put him forward, because I felt like everyone would go, oh, yeah, I know them because I know Dom. Like, my friend from home, we didn't figure this out for, like, a good year in... maybe about 7 months into first year, we realised that we'd both become really good friends with Dom. Oh, I keep saying his name over and over. But we'd become really good friends with the same guy. He'd lived in the same hall and played football with him. I knew him from the radio. And we were like, oh, we didn't even realise. So no, it was weird. But I don't think it was necessarily proud, because I don't think I don't really feel like I did anything to earn it. So
yeah, you don't really put yourself forward or anything like that. So it's not like necessarily you were that involved in other than just being yourself.
True. Yeah. Very, yes.
So what would you say has been your proudest achievement so far?
Proudest achievement? There's been... I mean, I've graduated, so that was...
Was that quite a bit?
And that was in doubt for a time. So, that was... I didn't think I would be... Especially since I knew I was carrying on for a master's, I didn't know if I would feel as proud on the day, but I did. It was really nice, and it was nice celebrating with, like, all the people that I'd had stressful course line dead work days with. Dead work days? Deadline. Coursework deadline there days. Go. There we go. Obviously, winning best station at the 2021... Was that right?
Yes,
2021 SRA's 30th anniversary as well, which is pretty cool.
That was
really, really special. It was a really special moment. But that was obviously under Flora and Catherine. Even though Em and I were running the station at that point, that was still Flora and Catherine's achievement. Really, they'd put the entry together. They were the one that had led
us
through
COVID.
You're
still proud of the station as
well.
But
I was there, and like I'd sort of inherited the station after them with them. So that was really proud. Honestly, and I didn't even have that much involvement in putting the entry together. I know I did a lot of coverage for Varsity last year, but seeing your Dom win Varsity, it was.
I mean, you can look at the pictures. I'm like, I cried.
Yeah, you sobbed.
I cried a lot.
It was honestly those videos. I was really proud. But I don't know if I was proud of all of us, because Varsity is such a huge commitment for the station. Mm. And it literally last year, it felt like there wasn't anybody that hadn't done something for Varsity, or and I know I went to a lot of events myself, but.
I definitely felt like a win for this. As much as it was a win for Dom, it was a win for the station.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just because of the massive involvement. And it was so nice. And it's also that kind of being proud of the work you put into it, being proud of the work he put into it.
Yeah,
you saw him around that time. He was stressed out.
Yeah, oh my days. Yeah. I mean, we obviously had all the tech issues as well, and it was just heartbreaking for him. But then to be rewarded with saying, no, you persevered, and it was...
And has he told you about the drama with the entry even?
Oh, yeah, because he lost it all, didn't he? Because did Joe Banks edit it?
So
you were in Luxembourg, isn't that right?
We were in Luxembourg together, and I realised suddenly our flight was 2 hours earlier than I thought. I'd got my 15s and my 17s, 3 and 5 o'clock
no,
mixed up.
No, so doable. I did that today, in fact.
I read 15 and I thought it was 5 o'clock, and then I just went... We need to leave right now. And he thought he had another couple hours, and he was on track to finish it on time. And then he went to save it, his laptop. You know when Audacity sometimes just shuts?
Yeah.
And it deleted the audio. So then he was like, right, I'm calling Joe Banks. So we got Joe on the phone, sent him all of the stuff we wanted, because he'd pretty much finished it. He knew all the bits he wanted, but we had to run to the airport. It was very, very stressful. And it was all submitted just about on time. Because I'm guessing you got sent the entry just before it got submitted.
Yeah, we didn't listen to it or anything. I was talking to Joe all that day. And obviously I was on FaceTime to Emily most of that day. For anyone that's listening that maybe isn't a URN member, the SRA process is, at least at URN, is that we set an initial deadline, the station manager and the deputy station manager, and then we feed back on that, and then you have until the official deadline to submit a bettered version. Now, quite a lot of them didn't need a lot of editing, really, after initial initial things, because people tend to think about it for quite a while, and you know, they do put the effort in. There were a few people that messaged me 10 minutes before the deadline saying, when's the deadline? And I was like, well, I'm not helping.
You're not gonna make it in time.
Dom had messaged me, I think I called him a week before, because I remember speaking to you like for a brief second in the background. I think it was while he was in Luxembourg. And he was like, I'm quite stressed. I was like, don't worry, it'll be fine, just chill out. You'll do it faster than you'll think you'll do it.
Yeah.
And then on the day, phone calls with both Joe and Dom. And I was like, okay.
It was also, there was all the other entries.
Yeah,
to get
so
done.
Yeah, so then, I mean,
to us, it did not help. He was meeting my family for the first time and felt obligated to spend time with them.
Yeah,
and he
wanted to have a holiday. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, priorities as well. Like, as much as we all care about winning some nice awards for our radio stuff, you know, you've got to live a life as well. But and then once everyone either, if they're comfortable submitting on their own, then we let people submit on their own. But a lot of people didn't know how, so they would send them to Em and I. It was mainly, I was sort of doing a lot of checking again and making sure that everything was, and then I would pass it over to Em because Em had done the actual forms and
she
stuff.
She was the final submitter.
She was the one pressing submit, definitely.
Yeah.
But that varsity win, that whole night actually, and I don't know if it's because that was at mine and Em's first time as station management going to the awards event.
Mm.
It was, even though we hadn't been, well, I mean, I got my personal nomination, but we hadn't been nominated for best station.
Your personal nomination, your personal win.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I was going to say that's probably, well, you've kind of jumped the gun here. Seeing like, I mean, Ella's awards, multiple awards. I don't even know if Em and I can really take any credit for them, but still, as station manager, you feel proud. April did so well. All of the nominations did so well. And obviously, I made those two, probably in any other environment, really cringeworthy speeches. But when we arrived at the SRAs and just as we were leaving after we'd all been soaked, like that was a true reflection of how proud I was of everyone. Just also even watching people like network after, I was like watching people go from one person to another. I was like, oh, you go on, get it. So that was definitely up there. But then I probably do have to, because, you know, I'm not going to say I don't have an ego, and getting a bronze in best entertainment for myself was quite a proud moment for me.
I was
yes.
so happy for you. I'll be honest, I don't know if I kind of clocked that you were nominated for that category, but I remember sitting down and like looking at the program. Cause to be fair, we did get quite a few nominations. I couldn't remember everyone's, but I remember looking at the program. And I was like, Jack, oh my goodness. Yeah. Jack got nominated. And I was like, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I know. It was mad. The suspense when you're there on that evening. But every time, honestly, I kind of, the categories where you've not got a nomination from your station, kind of a relief, because you're kind of like, oh, I need a break. I just need a minute.
And then you're like, who's this random people? Cool. Good.
Yeah, well done. I'm proud. You guys are great. But the tension, like, that varsity, because the scream that I let out whenever we got a gold, even when it was Ella, which is a more individual thing, really.
Yes.
Like, but when varsity, especially, the scream I let out, it was like from my gut. I stood up. Obviously, like on other tables, I think people stood up and celebrated, and glasses were knocked off and stuff.
Ava and I stood up, started crying, had the biggest hug, and then Holly stood up to be like, "Are you guys okay?" And like glasses went.
Yeah,
we smashed a couple just because. But it wasn't like in a
malicious way. It was just
oh my goodness.
Yeah. So yeah, that entire night was just absolutely incredible. But
well,
yeah.
When I get Dom on, we'll rehash this all.
Yes, lovely. Yeah, you can tell him how complimentary I was.
Do. He'll love it. He's in the middle of doing varsity stuff right now
yes,
for NSTV,
of course.
Which can't mention them. No, we can mention
it. Of course we can. Our cousins across the hall.
They are like cousins, aren't they? It's quite sweet. We have like a nice little media zone that we've created. But back up, more about you.
More about me.
But as we did say, you did get your award. So kind of that sort of night, we'll class the night of SRA's 2022
as one of my proudest
moments.
Yeah.
I was going to go on to talking a little bit about music, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just a little bit.
Just a little.
We mentioned earlier, obviously, you are technically an After Darker.
Technically, yeah.
And actually, before I ask any more music questions, I will say, do you think you are an After Dark stereotype? Because there is a stereotype. Or do you think you maybe fall into other stereotypes? Or would you refute the After Dark stereotype of the shacket?
Oh, I'm not refuting that. I'm not refuting. There is a massive
deep music interests.
No, I'm not refuting that. at all. There definitely is an After Dark. And I do own a few shackets, it has to be said. I know, scandalous.
Well, no, it makes sense. You are, I am an part After Dark, of your stereotype.
But I feel like I sit on... I don't feel like I am a stereotype because I sit like on the fence between daytime and After Dark. I obviously do a bit of sport as well, but I don't feel like in terms of my personality or, for example, seeing as we've just talked about fashion, the way I dress,
yeah.
I don't feel like that sits within sport very much, even though actually I've done as much sport as daytime. I've done loads more sport than daytime, in fact. But yeah, I would say I sit between
I'd say
two.
You're nice and chatty and kind of generally optimistic. I do find that you're tend to be, when you're in this office, you're like in a good mood, ready for a chat with whoever comes in the door. And I feel like that's a very daytime.
Yeah, it is a daytime attitude.
Personality trait.
Yeah. I'm also not a music snob, so.
Yes, that is the other thing.
Looking at you, Jake Long. No, I'm joking. Actually, do you know what? He's not that bad, actually. He's quite open to most things.
We did have a good chat about
music
snobbery, and they were like, I don't quite fall into that because I'm willing to listen to what other people have and take it on board. And I was like, that is a very fair point. But talking about kind of music a bit more generally, obviously you like indie music. We've already discussed
that.
I do, and you mentioned earlier you've done some interviews. Who do you say has been one of your favourite interviews that you've done?
So actually Jake and I did, we have a podcast, plug time, for another podcast, which has an introductory episode out, doesn't have its first episode out, even though it was ready in October. Because of just...
It's getting there.
It's ready, it's edited. We need to get back in touch with the people who it's with, they're being slow at replying, but they're busy, so that's fine. Jake and I were lucky enough to do a podcast episode of our podcast about drumming called Repercussions with Joe, the drummer from the Amazons, which was absolutely incredible. He was like, so me and Jake, and then we took Joe Banks with us as well for tech help. We got to go backstage at Rock City into the little like rooms downstairs. We got to sit in a crew room with like a fridge and stuff. Joe brought us all beers, although I didn't drink mine because I was quite ill that day. So he also gave us free tickets to the gig, and I didn't go because I was really ill. This is Joe the drummer, by the way, not Joe Banks.
Yes, not Joe Banks. Joe Banks is one of those people where he is always Joe Banks.
Yes.
So,
that was really, really incredible. He was so nice. He was more than willing to, like... He actually asked us questions while we were doing it, which was actually really nice, and he cared about what we thought about it.
He wanted, like, a proper conversation.
Yeah, he did, yeah. He was so up for it, and it was really, really good.
Is it a band that you'd listen to a lot?
Yeah,
music?
I spoke about, obviously, my indie show with Izzy. The Amazons were the first gig Izzy and I ever went to together at Rock City in first year, so then got to interview the drummer. Well, actually, me and Jake also interviewed the singer/guitarist Matt,
but it's a
very
drumming
quickly.
Podcast, so.
Yeah, that was at a different time, and it was only very quick, that one. But yeah, so that one. Also got to do a big shout out to Michael Aldag as well, because he's my boy. I've interviewed him three times now.
Oh wow.
He's a lovely guy. So
annoyed and disappointed that he has been to this uni several times, and I know him from TikTok. Like I remember during COVID I found him, and he was always recognizable because he's got a lot of ginger hair.
Yes.
So really easy to remember him. And then it was like, oh, he's coming. I was like, that name rings a bell. Looked it up, and I've always been busy, and I've always been like either out the country or like genuinely busy that I can't cancel on stuff that I haven't been able to see him or like meet him or anything.
And yeah, well, no, he is
such a shame.
No, he's genuinely lovely, and he is really funny as well.
Yes.
So he was So interviewing him is actually really easy because he will just make the jokes and I don't have to do a lot, actually. But yeah, I chatted to him once when he came here, and that was really last minute. I'm not big on TikTok. So someone dropped out. It was, again, Izzy Felton that had organised the interview. Someone dropped out, but it was an in-person one, and we'd got NSTV ready to record it and everything,
yeah.
And it was all going to be great. He was performing a couple of songs in Mooch. He didn't know there was going to be an audience, so he felt bad that he'd not got a longer set prepared. So he did say he'd come back. So
We're waiting for that.
I'll get in
Mooch
touch.
Mooch Live.
Yeah, that's true. So I had to do, like, a quick Spotify listen through. Like, so I knew who he was about half an hour before.
Okay, yeah, because I also didn't know he did music until he came to the uni. I just enjoy his funny TikToks.
So I listened to his stuff. I was like, this guy's pretty cool. I mean, I'm quite easily pleased by music, but his music is actually good.
Yes.
It's been played on, like, even Radio 1 quite a lot at the minute, so listen out for him. He's got an EP out called Socializing. It's very good. So he came in and then I had to do a little bit of a TikTok research, and I'm not great on TikTok, so I actually discovered that there was a sound that I'd heard before I didn't realise was him.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what it was now. Was it something, it might have been something about vaping?
Yes. Oh, it's the one where it's like, oh, I can't remember, but yeah.
Anyway, so I did a quick search on him, and then I was worried going in, but Izzy went, listen, you can talk to anybody. You like the sound of your own voice, so you will happily ask this guy questions. Can you please do it? Because it looks really bad on us. And I was like, yes, that's absolutely fine. Because she didn't want to do it because she was stressed out about the whole day and about how she was hoping enough people turned up at Mooch. Well, he wasn't expecting anyone, so definitely enough people turned up. There was a decent crowd as well, and he was really good at performing. And the interview was really good. We played a game. And then I got to chat to him again via Zoom, promoting his set at BBC Introducing Stage at the Day Festival in Nottingham called Meadowlands, which Izzy Morris and I were lucky enough to go to with for URN, got behind-the-scenes passes and stuff. And then after his set at Meadowlands, he like waved, and I was like, can I? And he was like, yeah, come round the back. So I interviewed him backstage, just a quick like social media one, and then had a bit more of a longer chat. And he was like, you know, we were chatting about who we'd watched it on the day and stuff and everything. And he was really, really like really up for it and really, really nice. And he did offer me free entry to any gig of his for the rest of his life. So I will be cashing in on that. However, the tour that he did just before, I think it was in November, didn't come to Nottingham. So, and I was quite busy at that point. I was like, there's no way I'm getting to Liverpool or London or something.
Good though. It's always nice when there's someone who's up for it. And I feel like, I guess with the, you know, we are students. We don't necessarily get the biggest artists. You know, we're not entering Harry Styles. Yeah. But I do find, like all the stories I've heard, it's the people who don't have the biggest following are the best ones.
Because absolutely.
They're so up for it. They're not tired of it.
Do you know what? I feel like we do have to give a bit of credit because, like I say, obviously the Amazons are a very well-known band.
Yes,
like they will,
I've heard of them.
They will definitely headline like indie festivals and stuff, and they're definitely big enough too. They've got, I think it's three albums now, and they're all really good. And they're all like, you know, good albums individually, but their sets are good, they're energetic on stage. Musically, they're also actually good. It's not just like they're riding a vibe wave or whatever. Even though the smaller one, that is more up and coming acts, are the ones that we more regularly get interviews with. Even an established band like the Amazons didn't turn their nose up when we said
we're students.
They were impressed. Matt the singer was really impressed when he heard us say that we're the biggest and best student radio in the country.
It does help. It does help.
That wall of awards does. It's a little bit useful. But
every so often, just gotta check.
Yeah. In. So I feel like it really should. It just does depend. Like, yeah, we probably won't be interviewing Harry Styles, but even the slightly bigger artists that we do get to interview are just well up for it. I think they don't care about who you are as long as your questions are good usually and as long as you're quite a friendly person to talk to. So it's been doing that like through student radio has been really nice. Long way to continue even after I'm gone,
hopefully.
Yeah,
fingers crossed. Yeah, I did prep you for this question.
Okay.
Especially subject.
I can't believe we've just done a music question, by the way, and I didn't even say that I'm in love with McFly.
But I know.
Yeah. You asked me about indie music. So.
I did kind of start with that because that is sort of what you built your brand on, shall we say.
Yeah, but not anymore. But
we have to mention the love of McFly.
Absolutely.
Which I genuinely appreciate because I went through a big McFly phase and it was deep.
Yeah, I feel like my love for McFly has almost secreted into the very blood of the station. I feel like the station now is just very appreciative of McFly. But I also feel like it's brought some people that were maybe too proud to say they were fans of a pop band, a noughties pop band. I feel like that it's brought some out of the woodwork, shall we say.
Yeah, definitely.
Looking at you, Izzy Felton.
And did I play a McFly song? I was talking about a McFly song on air the other day and it was you who corrected me.
And then
I kept saying it wrong because I'd been correct. That I was having a mare of a day that morning. It was early. I'm not used to it. Joe and I are calling it the breakfast show now.
The breakfast show, 9 till 11 a.m.
9 till 11. It's student breakfast time.
It is a student breakfast time. I was listening in bed, to be fair. Yes. But I love the Erin and Joe show. It's brilliant.
I've decided we're going to rebrand it as like a Wake Up on Wednesday show.
Very cool.
The Wake Up on the Wednesday.
Well, do you know what? I won't be able to listen anymore because my seminar is exactly the same time as your show.
No.
9 a.m. on a Wednesday till 11.
Oh, well. We'll get a listener somehow.
I'm sure you will. I don't doubt it.
Pay them. No, I'm
if
not
you paid me, I would skip
this.
My seminar.
Yeah. But yes, if you were going on Mastermind, what would be your specialist subject? And McFly obviously could be one of them. But if you're going a bit more niche.
You see, this is a really interesting one because I really overthink questions like this in that there are things that I think I'm pretty good at, but then I run through the other possible questions they could ask me about things and I'm like, yeah, but I don't know that.
Yes.
So like...
But I will say, you know, you pick this topic, you can have like a week to study it.
True. Okay.
So something, but you're confident going into it. You don't need to know everything off the bat. I know for me personally, it's definitely X Factor from the years like 2009 to 2015.
Okay.
I was deep into that.
Yeah. I don't want to be... That's a kind of boring one.
It can be a bit boring. I don't mind.
I have a lot of knowledge of things like Friends and Harry Potter and Star Wars, which I feel like are probably really popular categories.
Yes. But you could, if you can do it, you can do it. If
I
that's
can.
Your interest.
And do you know what? I remember, I don't know if it would be, but I remember a quiz. I think probably more the Harry Potter movies. Just, I finished the fourth Harry Potter book, but then it was just like, the films were, I started a little bit after and the films were out, so and it was kind of hard to avoid the films so much, and like people were telling me things and I was like, I don't want to know, I just need to watch the films now.
I'm glad you've answered my question was going to be, where if people have said Harry Potter, I make them specify books, films, is there a specific film? So we're saying you're going films over the books.
I probably don't even know if I go Harry Potter, but I remember winning a Harry Potter quiz against people who didn't think I would win.
Oh,
and I was like,
so
oh, it was as well. Because I've got two friends. One was actually at this uni as well. Wilf and Natalie White. I don't know why I gave her a full name. Nat. From back home, who both thought they would beat me. And beat them both. But I think, possibly based on recency bias, in that I've just rewatched it for the film coming out on Paramount Plus, the TV show Teen Wolf.
Yes.
I think that I would be very good at that.
Specific
I think.
Season or
no? I think I could. There's only six. There's only 100 episodes, so it's quite nicely condensed. So I think I could probably have a crack at all of it. Season three, if I had to pick a specific season, I think.
Who is your favourite character? Because I do like a bit of Teen Wolf.
I know Styles is a really popular one. Like,
but there's a reason he's a popular.
Yeah,
one.
He's hilarious, but it's also Dylan O'Brien. I mean, but. Yeah.
But you're a Styles over a Scott.
No, I don't know if I am.
Because as much as Styles is the comic relief and I love him, Scott has like a little bit of this like naivety, just
Scott
puppy. He's a bit of a puppy dog.
He is a bit, while simultaneously being the alpha.
Yeah.
I think I feel like Styles, everyone says Styles carried the show, but if Scott had have left, you wouldn't have watched it. You still
there
watched it.
A good
it.
Mix between the two. I think they're a very good duo. Because they're both such endearing characters and people.
And they provide different elements, I think.
Mm.
I might say that I'll pick one outside of those two because they're really obvious choices. Obviously, everybody loves Derek Hale as well because he's just, oh, it's Derek. But,
I didn't think this was going to be the tricky question.
It's so tricky. Because I love Melissa McCall, absolute queen. Malia, not only unbelievably attractive, but also I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. I don't think I'm allowed to say that. Oh, I think I am allowed to say that. I think you are allowed to say badass.
Yeah.
I think you are allowed to say badass.
If not, I'll bleep it.
Yeah, we'll bleep it.
But it was a positive word.
Yeah. But then like Cher Stilinski and Chris Argent as well. I think outside of the top, outside of the main two, out of Scott and Stars, I think I'd probably be Malia.
Yeah.
I love Millie. I just think she's funny, and I think like
she has to
adjust from being literally a wild animal for 8 years. Yeah. I just think the adjustment period is really entertaining. So yeah. Malia, there we go, Malia. Yeah. For
well,
people that don't
Wolf,
like Teen Wolf.
Yeah, I know. Sorry guys. If you don't like Teen Wolf, you should have skipped forward.
Yeah. But and I mean, there's not gonna be segments on Supernatural and the Vampire Diaries as well, is there? Because I could be here a long time.
Oh, why do I feel like we had a very similar upbringing?
Yeah, I know. Even though I'm from Scunthorpe and you've lived a lot of your life in Luxembourg.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So the American media was very much what me and all my friends were consuming because it was, you couldn't get BBC iPlayer. You can't get UK-specific things in Europe because of the...
I feel like maybe a lot of UK-made TV as well for young adults isn't as good as like the, maybe the sort of young adult to full adult stuff is very good, but the like teenage, there's young adult stuff isn't as good.
There's a bit of a gap, I think, in there and the ages they target, because it feels like the stuff that is for teens, like when you're sort of 13 to 16, it feels a lot younger. Yeah. It feels like it's actually more for like 10, 12-year-olds. So it's a bit harder to get into, whereas American TV does it well. As we hate to say it, sometimes the Americans are right.
Yeah, true.
And Teen Wolf, Vampire Diaries, Supernatural, all those I was big into.
See, that's what I have to... those things are a lot of the stuff that I write for my degree, those kind of stories. But I always set them in America because I just can't picture them working in...
No, it would be so wrong in England, wouldn't it?
Like, because at school, can you imagine them at school? Who's going to get thrown up against the lockers? We don't have lockers. No. Or, unless you're at a posh school, I suppose, but...
We had lockers, but it wasn't like that.
Oh, well, we
did. They were just lockers.
You just carried everything around with you in a bag. Yeah. But we didn't have lockers, and you all wore school uniform, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, and there wasn't fights every day, and...
And as much as there probably isn't in America either, and I've heard to some degree it's an over-exaggeration of it, they have a lot bigger schools.
Yeah.
So the idea of not knowing someone in your year and you meet them for the first time and then you realise you've been in classes together the whole time is such a foreign idea, especially in English schools, where I think the biggest schools tend to have like a year size about 150 maybe.
Well, I think like the boarding schools probably, like the really posh schools probably have a bit more. And probably big city schools.
No, they go smaller.
Oh, do they?
Posh schools go smaller.
See, in my year, there's 175 people. In my year at school, there's 175. Okay. But I've known schools where there's been like 1,000 people in a year.
They definitely do that in America.
Yeah.
But they've got a bigger population. True. You know, it's all different.
It is very different.
Over the pond. Have you ever thought about living in America? Because clearly you've consumed so much American media. Does it ever make you go, I want to be there, over there?
Well, yeah, because when I was more into the idea of... Because I don't think I would... Now that radio is the main passion, the main love of my life... apart from my girlfriend, obviously. I don't think I would want to... Because I don't think radio... Because we have, like, Radio 1, but because America's so big, they have, like, each state seems probably has its own radio, or each city has loads of different radios, and they're probably all equally as big, whereas here it's, like, Radio 1 or Capital or stuff like that. I mean, there's still a lot, but the big ones are the big ones, and they get listeners from everywhere, whereas if you're in, like, Washington State, you're probably not going to be listening to a radio channel in Florida.
And I also wonder if audiences like to hear their accent, if that makes sense.
Yeah, maybe.
To an extent, I think, like, if you were in, like, rural America, they'd be like, why aren't you speaking with an American accent? They'd be confused.
Yeah. But when I was doing the writing thing, I've always had a bit of an obsession about New York for some reason. I got to go on a school trip and it lived up to it. Like, everyone... the teacher that took us, he was like, it feels like going home, which I know is weird to say because we're going on holiday essentially, but you have seen it in so many things.
You recognize so
many places. You will go to Times Square and you will actually probably have some sense of how to get to other places without looking at a map. And he was right. And I went in and I was like, wow, it's so familiar. But at the same time, it was like nothing like I experienced. However, the teacher in question, brilliant man, got like my English teacher, and obviously now doing like having done 4 years at university in English, obviously had a big influence on me. But wouldn't go back with him because he doesn't eat like we. You go to New York, you think, oh, there's also going to be some nice restaurants that we can eat in. No, Mackey's every meal. So we were quick and then back on the move. It was like, man, I just want to sit down and enjoy a proper meal. Yeah, and he like would get up before breakfast and then come back to the hotel for breakfast, and we were all like, what the hell is this?
No.
Yeah, so
wake up, have your breakfast, think about where you're going to have lunch, figure out the easiest way to get to that place for lunch while seeing sights, sort of thing.
Yeah. So going to New York was amazing, and there was a few of us, me and my mate, were like, yeah, we're gonna live here definitely.
Yeah.
Don't know why we would have said it in an American accent though.
Well, if you're in America at the time, it's probably something.
Why not?
You know what? I imagine that you did.
Yeah, but I probably did. You're probably right. Obviously, then a lot of the film industry though is, or TV industry, is LA based, and LA wasn't even somewhere I'd considered. I think because I'd heard a lot of people weren't that impressed about it going on holiday there, but I imagine living and going on holiday there is probably very different.
It's two different things, and I think there's a difference between California and LA. I've got cousins that live there, and they are a little bit further out. They used to live, when I visited them when I was...
Didn't live in Beacon Hills, did they?
No. I was about 4 years old when I visited them, so you know, take everything I say with a pinch of salt. I don't remember it well, but I remember them being nearby-ish, like the Hollywood sign and stuff like that, because that's what my uncle started off as. He worked for Disney for a bit.
Oh, cool.
Writing scripts and stuff like that. Like, that's what he wanted to do. Doesn't anymore. And then they kind of moved a bit further out eventually. Like, from, they were very close to LA and then they weren't. And I think they've enjoyed a little bit more in the suburbs. It seems like it's quite nice. Who's to say?
Yeah, I don't know. Just a really weird fact while we're on the, well, I've brought up Beacon Hills, which is obviously the town from Teen Wolf, if you didn't know.
If you didn't know that, you can turn off right now.
It's not the name of the road that I live on, or the name of any of the roads on the hill, but the hill itself that I live on in the town where I'm from in Barton is called Beacon Hill.
That's quite cool.
That is cool. I accidentally found it out. I wasn't even in like one of my Teen Wolf rewatch phases at that point. I just accidentally found it out, and I think that triggered a Teen Wolf rewatch, and I messaged my... Because at that point, all my other mates from back home would like turn their nose up when I was like, yeah, I love like Teen Wolf and the Vampire Diaries. Yeah. Had one other mate who now is like a big lacrosse player for his uni, won't admit to all of them that it's because of Teen Wolf.
I will say, I don't know if you've heard of it, but there is an anime about volleyball called Haiku, I think. Oh, have I got that wrong? Maybe. Anyway, there's an anime about volleyball, and so many people that join volleyball join it because they watch the anime.
Wow, okay,
like
that's quite cool.
And sometimes they won't admit it, but they do.
I do want to always ask the lacrosse team, I'm like, are you just really posh? Are you American? Or is it Teen Wolf?
It's Teen Wolf. Yeah. No, but it's a nice little like personal connection with it. I remember there's a book series called The Mortal Instruments.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So there's
that's what the Shadowhunters thing is on Netflix,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And the city place, I can't remember what it's called, that they describe is described as being in a tiny country that's not non-existent in between France, Germany, and Belgium. Exactly where Luxembourg
is. I was going to say, that sounds like Luxembourg
to me.
Exactly
where Luxembourg is. So I remember me and my friends all read the books at the same time. So I think one of my friends like got them for Christmas, then we all just read them. And it was like, oh my goodness, they're talking about us.
No, that's cool. That's flattering, that. I'm like, wow. Yeah, I'm a shadow hunter or whatever you would be called. I don't know.
I can't remember. I really should re-watch it, read it again.
That's not one I've watched, to be fair.
Fair enough. It's interesting.
Okay.
It's enjoyable in the same way that a lot of them are enjoyable, but not necessarily good. You know, like, objectively, this is not a good TV show.
Okay.
There are so many problems with it, like plot holes and things like that. But I enjoy watching it anyway, and I don't care. It's that sort of thing. I have two more mandatory questions that I have to ask you. One of them we kind of spoke about a little bit earlier, but radio is very, very non-visual. You know, you can't see who you are. So when the people are walking around campus and they're like, I've heard of the BNOC Jack, what does Jack look like? What's your iconic piece of clothing?
What's
that's
my
gonna,
iconic piece
gonna
of
let
clothing?
People go, that's Jack.
Ooh, great question. I am someone as well that is that it desires an iconic piece of clothing. And actually, I think it was your Dom. By the way, I keep saying your Dom. Dom's Erin's boyfriend, if that wasn't clear.
if anyone could tell.
Yeah. I think it was him that actually made me decide what my iconic piece of clothing, or confirmed for me, because I'm always after like a signature smell, piece of clothing, something like that. So I feel like I wear these shoes quite a lot. So maybe people don't really
Converse
look for shoes. Yeah, these like creamy, slightly off-white high top Converse. But I think probably the leather jacket that's just outside in the it's like a brown leather jacket. It's not got like the bikery side to it. It's just like a leather. But I feel like that's probably what most people, and there's usually a hoodie underneath it as well. Mm. So I feel like that's probably
you've got a style at least.
Yeah, people would look and be like,
That's Jack,
yeah.
That's Jack. Fair enough. I'm glad you've thought about it through.
Yeah, I would like this in a very vain way. Would you agree with that or
not? I would actually. I was thinking, I don't know what it is. As soon as you said the jacket, I was like, I know the one you're talking about. And I think that's what it is. If it's, I know whatever someone is talking about, then it must be iconic. Do you have any more than sort of pieces that you're thinking of bringing into your wardrobe to become iconic?
Well, do you know what? These new jeans that I'm wearing. Oh my God, I feel like I'm on GQ. this is a dream come true. I'm not going to lie. Actually, to be fair, I actually feel like my jewellery combination are quite... because, I mean, a lot of people wear rings. I mean, that's kind of like quite a common pattern. I've got one that's just silver I don't think it's made of silver. I think it's probably stainless steel.
Yeah.
But it's got the Tree of Life pattern on it, which I wanted because the only first I got in my undergrad was from a Norse mythology, which
cool.
doesn't sound like something you would study on an English degree, seeing as it's most of it isn't written in English. But yeah, but I feel like my watch and my rings and my necklace combination are fairly iconic as well. But so these jeans I got the other day, I'm trying to wear a slightly baggier jeans, I think. I don't think I can go quite as baggy as some people, as the style maybe is again now.
You're sort of increasing the baggy.
Do you not think that's, there's been a whole cycle of baggy trousers there?
Yeah.
That I wrote about this in an essay for my Christmas assessments.
Yeah.
Because that's what creative writing you can do. I call it the baggy jean hypothesis, actually. Yeah,
it's quite a good.
Yeah, but so these are really nice. They're from Joe Brown's. They're very new. I got them from York Designer Outlet.
Ooh.
So I quite like them. They're a nice colour and they're slightly baggier than what I have been wearing recently.
Does it make you feel cooler if you wear? Because I got a pair of jeans that are baggier than I usually wear, and I was like, I'm now cooler than everyone else.
It did when I put them on. I was like, I look
yes,
cool.
Yeah.
I look cool. Because, like, I wouldn't throw out my skinny jeans because I feel like they're reliable. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if baggy jeans work with everything.
Yeah.
Whereas skinny jeans, probably you can get away with most things. So I wouldn't throw them out. So I need some new ones because I've got rips in all of mine somehow. All in the same place as well. And I discovered that I had this really light blue pair of baggy jeans. And I went to London just after I handed in all my Christmas deadline stuff, went to London with Ash, and we were sat in ZZ's in St Catherine's Dock in London. It's a lovely little spot if you've not been. It's just next to Tower Bridge. And I just sort of rested my hand in between my thighs, and I was like, oh, there's a hole. And I was like, oh, how big is it? And I could fit a good portion of my fist through the hole. I was like, we need to go back to the hotel. Like, I need to go and get changed now. So these new jeans, because I quite like the shade of blue as well.
They're a nice shade. They're like inky shade.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else. This hoodie I got quite recently. But to be fair, hoodies and jumpers-wise, I quite often go for the URN. The URN merch is comfy as hell. It's so nice.
It is a good one.
So I don't know. I don't know about any other pieces. I'm more of a fragrancy person with that kind of stuff,
okay.
I think.
Okay, so do you have an iconic smell then?
So I'm very, very conscious. Even when I was younger, I never used to like to get the exact same things as other people. So, you know, I don't know if you're... school, or I don't know if you were in Luxembourg at this point or not, but my school went through a whole super dry coat phase, and I was like, I like them, then they look nice, but I don't want to have the same as you all. So I had an Abercrombie coat because I was cool.
I will say that's always been my exact mentality.
Yes.
I want to fit in enough, but I need to be unique.
Yes, exactly.
I need to stand out, but I also don't want to stand out too much that people would notice I'm standing out.
Yeah.
Sort of. Just if that makes
sense. Just like they'd look across and go, that's slightly different. You look nice though, thanks.
Yeah.
But not to the point where people, it might divide people on whether
yes.
they think I look nice or not.
Yeah.
So every Dior Sauvage is the fragrance that is by far the most popular
it's
amongst
iconic, yeah.
men my age. It's nice, and I get the appeal because it's strong and it lasts quite well, because I think it's an eau de parfum. I might be wrong about that. I've probably just guessed, but I'm pretty sure they're the stronger ones. I don't know.
I think they
yeah.
are.
So I never wanted to go for that one. So the ones that I wear most regularly are Armani Code. I bought it without smelling it because it was a cheap deal on a flight back from Turkey.
Yeah.
Was pleasantly surprised, thankfully. So that one's become... I've stuck with that one. People just tend to get me it for Christmas now. So I usually just always have a bottle of it. I went with, for a good while, with Bleu de Chanel. But, and I am blaming you here, I'm going to name and shame someone now, Jake Ferris Woolley has just started wearing it, and I don't want to...
You can't be the same.
I don't want to be the same, so he can have it. It smells, it's a very nice fragrance. Although people used to say that's quite an older person's fragrance, because I started wearing it when I was at college, and my friend Carolina went, oh, that's what my dad wears. And then I think I discovered also one of my uncles wears it. I'm like, oh, am I too young for this? I don't know.
Because everyone else your age was wearing, what is it, Lynx or Axe or whatever it's called.
Oh, I don't know. I think Axe is an American thing.
Is Axe the... I know one's the American
Lynx
one.
Lynx is ours. Yeah. See, I never got body spray because you can't... It doesn't work the same as deodorant. So people that use body spray in place of deodorant, that's not how things work.
And I feel like they must be ruining their skin.
Yeah, not a good idea. I'm like, so I never knew where you would spray it because you can't spray it on your neck. That's too close to your mouth. You're... but
I quite like the you kind of spray and walk through it.
Yeah, like a, like in Miranda with the Febreze. Yeah.
Yes, yes. I think they. I think it's in Queer Eye. They call it like you like spray and walk away.
Yeah. Oh, like very that. Nice. Yeah. And then I think on the advert for some Links ones, I don't know if it was maybe like a football based advert or like Ronaldo was in it or something, but I think they did it in the shape of a number 7. Sort of like from the left
sense.
Side
shoulder,
of their shoulder then down. But I'm more of an aftershave fan and always have been. The one I've got most recently, I hope you don't release this podcast for a while because I don't want anyone else to buy it while I'm still here.
I can delay it for a few weeks.
But they might. Oh, I don't even know if I can say the model phrase because.
You can say and I'll bleep it.
Okay. So the brand is Prada.
Okay.
And people might be able to find it if they do a bit of research now, which makes me feel posh, by the way, because it wasn't that expensive because I did buy it from an outlet and I used a voucher because it's just been my birthday. So I bought it from an outlet and it's Prada and you can bleep this. Oh, no, I'll say the model name is...
That's so good.
I've got it in my bag. I'll show you after.
Oh, I love it. But, I am bleeping that because it'll make it so much funnier.
Yeah. So I think me and my cousin, my girlfriend and my mum, because my cousin's also part of URN now, because it's a dynasty now. My mum came up to visit just before Christmas and we all went shopping. And I was like, I'm running out of aftershave. I don't know if people are going to get me it for Christmas or not, because
you never quite know.
No.
You hope, but
I'd ask for it as well. I always say when people are like, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, I'm fine with a t-shirt or something. Or any kind of fragrance stuff I'm fine with. Because if people want to get me a different one as well, I'll still wear it, even if it's not
still
one of those.
Try it out at least, yeah.
So we went shopping, because I was like, I actually don't, even though I've said it, I don't actually think no one's sort of hinted at anything that they might be getting
me.
It's
the worst, though, when you ask for something and then you think you're getting it and then you don't. Shout out to my sisters for Christmas. I sent them a really specific top I wanted, and they both texted me individually asking about sizes, colours, that kind of stuff. I was like, great. I'm getting the top I really want for Christmas. Christmas morning comes. They've both bought me separate gifts. This was supposed to be a gift they were buying together. Not a top in sight.
No.
Not a top in sight. And
fuming.
I'm not over it. I am fuming.
Fuming.
They both made it sound like I was getting it.
Yeah.
And I got all excited and I was like, okay, I'm not going to buy it for myself. And now I can't find the top anywhere.
Oh my God, no. That's quite heartbreaking.
It is. And I expected it to be around because it's the most basic Urban Outfitters top. It was so funny, though. It's
well, maybe check charity shops now, because it's probably been bought from Urban Outfitters, changed season, and now it's in the charity shops when people are...
I might have to go have a look.
Yeah, maybe. But that will take longer, because they're less organised, so... Ugh. I know.
It hurts.
That is painful. So I didn't think anyone... So I was like... I was walking around, I was like, Mum, tell me straight, are you aware of anyone getting me any aftershave? She went, actually, no. And I was like, well, I asked for this, so we're going and smelling some aftershaves. And I feel like... Because when I smelt it again, me and my mum were like, I feel like we maybe smelt one called... And I said, I really want to like this, but I don't get on with it. But then we went and bought it. Well, obviously went and bought it because it's in my bag, but I didn't steal it. We went to the York Designer Outlet and we went into the perfume shop. I think it is actually called. I think it is a branch of the perfume shop.
Yeah.
And she was like, first of all, the lady in there was really good. She's like, first of all, what's your budget?
I told her
my budget, and she was showing me ones right up to my budget, even though I could see some dotted around
as
on sale.
I mean,
and
as like, they want their commission.
But I was like, fair enough, whatever. And she was giving me these ones. We sort of whittled it down to two. And then she said, spray these on your hand, go away, walk around and come back once they've settled and stuff. And
because that is actually what you need to do.
Yeah,
as much as you smell it on a stick, it mixes differently
with your skin.
Body,
yeah, absolutely.
That's very trustworthy of her as well to go away and come back, because a lot of time people won't bother.
Well, I mean, she didn't give me the bottle.
No, true.
Yeah,
no, I mean,
yeah.
In the sense of like, she's working on commission.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
She's
going to
get something from this. So,
well, we went back and she'd changed shift.
Yeah.
And my mum was like, will you please tell your colleague that we did come back? I don't want it to think we didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, but she's not here now. Because we went at like a weird time of day, probably when normal shift
just
changed.
Yeah.
Like, so. So I went back in and bought it, but we were like, I wonder why we didn't like it the first time we smelt it. So maybe it wasn't the same thing, but...
Or maybe it had gone off or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. But now it's in my bag and I loved it.
It was meant to be.
I also tried Paco Rabanne Million Elixir, not the original Million, preferred the Elixir one. It's a bit fruitier. perfect for tomorrow with our LGBTQ+ History Month special.
Yes.
Not that I'm on that or am, but... yeah, but that was so.
I'm
anyone...
going to release this before tomorrow.
Well, yeah, true, very true. But I've just said the date, sort of, so people will know when it is.
True.
So yeah, so if anyone wants to buy me an aftershave, there you go. You can buy me that one. That was also nice. That's that was the other strong contender. But Prada.
And I will bleep it.
Another
every
bleep.
Time.
Yeah.
Every time you mention it, I'm going to bleep it.
I'm not showing anyone the bottle.
Fair.
Well, I'll show you when we go outside. But
I'll hide. If anyone else is out there, I'll make sure they can't see
it. But yeah, no, it smells really nice. And I'm hoping that no one else that I know buys it so it can be my signature fragrance.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Fingers are crossed for you. And as I say, we're not going to spoil it.
Yeah.
So people can come up to you and be like, Jack, you smell really nice. What is it? And you go, It's just me.
It's the best. Yes, exactly. It's just my natural scent.
Yeah, it's how I smell every day. What do you mean? Final question.
Okay.
This is the last question I like to leave it on with guests because it's a little bit looking to the future. What are you looking forward to? And this is a question that is designed to be taken however you like. If you've got a really nice dinner tonight, it can be your dinner. If it's going home and having a nap, it can be go home and having a nap. If it's I've got a concert coming up, if it's I want to graduate again for you.
Again. Well, graduating again would be good because a master's is a lot of money if you don't pass it.
Yeah.
I'm now looking forward to, I just wanted to check this. I've been really looking forward to get back playing for the radio football team, our Hangovers team. And I've just been found out that I am in the squad for tomorrow.
Lucky.
So I'm looking forward to that.
This also can be used as an opportunity to plug anything you're doing.
Looking forward to the pre-ocean show 7 to 9pm on a Friday. I'm also looking to any more releases of URN's podcast Repercussions with me and Jake. I'm on a Stranger... I did Stranger Things weird. Ash started watching season 4.
Okay.
I'd always meant to get around to watching Stranger Things. And I was like... At the time, I was like, well, I don't want to just go and sit in our bedroom and watch TV. I would like to, you know, be with you or at least be downstairs. I don't want to just sit in the bedroom all day. It was the time after uni had finished before I had my job, so I wasn't doing a lot.
Yeah.
I was looking for jobs, but, like, you know, if no one's giving you an interview, you can't just walk out and demand one. So I was applying for jobs, but obviously, like, I wasn't doing too much. Going to a lot of parties, if you remember that time of year last year, there was just a lot of parties people were having.
I think I was home by then.
Oh, fair enough. Well, I wasn't. I was being a social butterfly. But I also watched season 4 of Stranger Things, knew a bit of context, so was able to keep up fair enough. But I've not done the first 3.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm now I'm watching Stranger Things.
So is that like tonight you can go home and watch an episode?
Yeah. So I know, and it's not been like that for a while. I've just started watching the Wolfpack on Paramount Plus as well, but that's an episode a week. It's been a long time since I've done a week kind of streaming, so which is nice because I remember watching like Arrow and Flash when I was a bit younger. Not that there's a problem with watching them if you're older. It's just,
but yeah, no, I went through the same thing. I kind of did the Teen Wolf and all that. It's like, okay, I need more. I need more Arrow and Flash for the two.
But it was great because when it was coming out every week, but especially when there was like Arrow, Flash.
Was and then the Legends crossover and, episodes and stuff,
but it was like, okay, Monday I can watch this, Tuesday I can watch this, and it kind of got me through it. I do it with Liverpool games as well. I'm like, I base my time around how many days have I got till the next Liverpool, I can watch the next Liverpool game, and I'm like, okay, not that that's particularly enjoyable viewing at the minute. It's bleak, but hey ho. So I think tonight, I think the thing I'm looking forward to most is probably playing football tomorrow now.
That's gonna be
for
fun.
Hangovers. So yeah,
fingers
there you go.
Crossed for a win.
Hopefully so.
I've heard the football team has struggled a little bit so far, but we've got IMS netball as well tomorrow. I had Toby on earlier, so we were chatting all about the IMS.
Oh, lovely.
And fingers crossed for the netball as well. But we've all got our new shirts now. So.
We do. They're lovely as well. Thank you so much to Andy Ho and Ocean for sponsoring us as well. They look great.
They do. I love mine. I put it on and I was like, this
I know.
Is
I'm
going
to I'm going to come to uni wearing it tomorrow, I think. Because I've got a seminar at 9 tomorrow. Oh, during your show. So.
I was going to say, what am I doing at 9? I'm on air for the LGBTQIA+ special day. And I am, because it's taken over my slot, I'm still doing my slot.
Nice. 9 Very
to 11.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I've got the Hangovers game in the evening and I'm meeting my dissertation supervisor so he can tell me all the stuff
Wonderful.
I did wrong on
We've
my
We've got Hangovers
proposal.
Pub crawl tomorrow night as well.
We do.
Yes. That'll be fun.
I am going to.
Excellent. Why did you point at me?
Though that was more me telling myself I'm
going to, yeah.
Yeah. I have training at 7 a.m. on Thursdays.
Ooh.
So I struggle to go on nights
for
out
what?
On Wednesdays. For
volleyball, right? Yeah, of course.
No, it's our IMS netball training.
IMS netball training. I was thinking, oh my God, we need to catch up. I think we've had two training sessions and I didn't go to one because it was immediately after our committee meeting the other day and I had other things to do. So
we've had one total and it was raining heavily, so I didn't go.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone went, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for being on, Jack.
It's been an absolute
lovely
pleasure.
Chat. I feel like
I love talking about myself.
You.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, point. No, we all do. Who's going to do one about you?
Oh, no one?
Well, no, that can't be, Erin. Maybe the last ever episode has to be your questions pitched to you.
I don't know how I feel about that. I'll be like, no, guys, you're doing the questions wrong. That's
yeah,
not how
no.
I would do it.
Okay, maybe a whole different
myself.
Set of questions. Yeah. Oh, my God. With a bit, clever bit of editing, we could do that.
To be fair, I did. The questions were born out of what would I want to answer?
Yeah.
And I was just like,
okay, I'm glad there's somebody else
about?
That likes to think they have an iconic piece of clothing then.
Well, that was also born out of, that was from actually inspired by Gabby. Gabby and her pink flares, because there was one day where I saw Gabby the other side of campus kind of thing. Like I was like up there, she was over there, and I texted her. I was like, Gabby, I can see you. You just got off the bus or something like that. And later on that day when I actually saw her properly, she said two people that day, me and someone else, had come up to her and said that, and she gets it so frequently that people just spot the pink flares and they go, that is Gabby
Brown. I don't know if I've ever seen Gabby in her pink flares.
Oh, you're missing out. They are velvet pink flares. And the best part is they're made from deadstock, so they're very sustainable. So deadstock fabric is the fabric that doesn't get used for when they're making clothes and stuff. So then it either would get thrown away, but some people buy them and make clothes out of them.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's an environment.
It's far more sustainable than my leather jacket, isn't it?
Well, you know, but it's funny because, yeah, that was also one of the first things Gabby and I ever spoke about on our show. So it's very full circle. So
oh, that's so cool. Oh,
so
wow.
Shout out to Gabby and her trousers.
Yeah.
Her trousers get a lot of mentions because people are like, I don't know what my thing is. I'm like, well, this is Gabby's example.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, thank you very much.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so, so much to Head of Station Jack Napton for taking the time to come and talk to me. As we kind of mentioned throughout the episode, have a look out for his podcast, Repercussions, which hopefully will be making a return very, very soon. If you want to follow Instagram accounts to find out more about what Jack might be up to, follow URN1350 and keep a lookout. And you can hear him every single week from 7 to 9pm on The Pre-Ocean Show, which he does with Holly Madden, which is on University Radio Nottingham, which you can find on the website urn1350.net. And if you've enjoyed listening to my voice, make sure you check out our Instagram, Off Air on URN, to stay up to date with all the episodes coming out soon.